We've been studying there. We've spent two Sunday mornings on Colossians chapter number 1. And now we're going to Colossians chapter number 2. Amen. And I'm just going to read verse number 1. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict." Everybody say great conflict.
Great conflict.
"What great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." I know we have been studying in such a way that we're breaking down the content of the scripture. For many times, we all have fallen prey and guilty of just reading our Bibles, but not understanding the fullness of those said scriptures. So can we dive into the Word of God here today and dissect these scriptures and glean everything that we can? Yeah. Want to do that this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us right now. Touch our minds, touch our spirits. Help us to be open and receptive unto your Word. Let it be engrafted on the tables of our heart. God, we're not here to fight against you, but we're here to receive your Word that we might be fulfilled in you. Help us today. Give us wisdom and understanding. Open our eyes and let us understand. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Here in Colossians, we've already established the fact that the reason, the purpose that Colossians was even written is because there was an issue in the church dealing with false doctrine. They were those in Colossae that were trying to take Jewish legalism and Eastern philosophy and Gnosticism and bind them together with Christianity, thus making Jesus not preeminent, only prominent. He became a figure, such as many religions of our society today only make Jesus out to be one of the prophets, or just somebody that is prominent but not preeminent. And therefore, Paul goes on to write the letter to the Colossian church, or to the church at Colossae, annihilate, if you will, the false doctrine, the heresy that was going on, and establish the Word of God with great emphasis. And so he starts out in chapter number 2. He said, "I would that ye knew." I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. I am fighting for you. Aren't you thankful to know that somebody's fighting for you? Amen. I believe that I could say this very thing today on Paul's behalf. I feel the same way that Paul did. I am fighting for you. I don't take my position here today as the pastor of this church, as the prophet, if you will, of Sparks. And you say, "Whoa, man, you're really going." I'm telling you, that's the way God sees it. That's the way God feels about it. That's the voice of Sparks, Nevada. That's the voice of Northern Nevada. Amen. And I am fighting not only for you today that are sitting in these pews, but I'm here preaching the gospel today for those that have not yet heard the Word of God. That's what Paul was doing for a prison cell. He said, "You haven't seen me face to face. You haven't seen me in person, but I'm fighting for you." And those today that don't even know me, that don't even know you, we're here today on their behalf, fighting for them, praying for them, worshiping the Almighty God for them, praying that they one day will get a revelation and come to the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. May not have ever met me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm in this great conflict. I'm fighting for you. Verse number 2 said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. But their hearts at this particular juncture were in great turmoil because of the false doctrine, because of the heresy. And he said, I want your heart to be comforted, and I want it to be brought together, knitted together, what? In love. Not in just the ordinary love or love of this world, but in the love of Almighty God. And unto all riches, all riches of the fullness assurance of understanding. He said, I don't want this just to be in love, but I want you to get the deepest, rich, most wonderful blessing in understanding the Word of God and coming to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I want to take a moment here, break this down for just a minute. That word knit together literally means that we're forced to walk together. We're pushed together by circumstances. And he was saying that there's this false doctrine that's rocking the church in Colossae. And it's making people question it. They're confused. And he said, because of the circumstances that are surrounding us, it's forcing us to come together. Amen. There's some things that come against the church of God that ought not to separate us, but ought to force us together in a stronger way, in a more knit together way than ever before. And I believe that as we're facing this dark and wicked day, even today, that we ought to be knit together. There ought to be the forces of wickedness. The Bible even says that it's going to wax worse and worse. Amen. It's going to wax worse and worse, and that ought to drive us together under the circumstances of the wickedness that is prevailing in this world, that it ought not to separate us, and we ought not to be wandering around wondering what's going on, but it ought to drive us together even closer. I need you more today than ever before. You need me more than ever before. We need each other more than ever before. Amen. Amen. Understand this, that we know that the church had been torn apart by this doctrine. This doctrine, again, I'm gonna break it down. I'm gonna take a few moments here again. There were three things that it consisted of, and Paul again refuted them through this scripture. Sometimes you go, oh, you're gonna preach that again? Well, the more and more that I look at the Word of God, Paul does it over and over and over and over again. Why? Because it's that positive reinforcement, reinforcing that the Word of God remains true and consistent. The Word is not inconsistent. It is consistent in every imaginable way. Amen. It is foundational. We'll get to that in just a moment. I better pull it together before I get ahead of myself. Amen. They insisted the doctrines that were being taught, they were insistent on the importance of some type of secret knowledge. This was that Gnosticism that was there. That secret knowledge had to be had in order to really become a true believer. However, Paul said that Christ provides all the knowledge that we need. They were reaching into that Eastern philosophy. We're going to get into that again here just a little bit. As they reached into philosophy, Paul refuted it again and said, no, you don't need men's wisdom. What you need is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's all that you need. The second thing is that it taught that the body was evil. And Paul countered that by God himself living in a body that is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. And he expounds thereupon. The third thing is, it contended that Christ was that Christ only seemed to be human, but was not. There's a doctrine, a damnable doctrine, that is a divine flesh doctrine, that says, well, he couldn't sin because he was divine. No, he was flesh. Paul insisted that Jesus Christ was fully human and fully God at the same simultaneous time. That's why he said that we could feel the infirmity, that he could feel the temptation, and he could feel the stress, and he could feel the pain, because he was fully human, yet fully God. But he had a job to do. He had to reconcile all humanity unto himself. Amen. And so, as we go a little bit further, it said, in full assurance of understanding what? The mystery of God. And then Paul says, and of the Father. But that word and is even. Remember, we learned that last week, that sometimes and is a conjunction to bring those two thoughts. But in the original Greek and Hebrew, it was even. Not and, as if God and the Father, God and the Spirit and God and the Son are all separate entities. But it said even the Father and of Christ, or even of Christ. So if we were to read it in the original Greek and Hebrew, it would say the full assurance of understanding of the mystery of God, even the Father, even of Christ Jesus. That's the way it would say. But we have today this misnomer, this misunderstanding of who Jesus is. So what's going on again? Paul again is reiterating that God, even the Father, even Christ, is a oneness. There is only but one God. You cannot separate him, but in relationship, he is a Father to those. In relationship, he is a Son to others. In relationship, he is whatever you need him to be, because the scripture said that we are complete in him. When I need a counselor, he is a counselor. When I need a provider, he is a provider. When I need a doctor, he is my healer. When I need salvation, he is my savior. He is everything we need. We are complete in him. Verse number 3 said, in whom? Who is it talking about? He, Jesus Christ. In Jesus are hid all the treasures. I want to tell you, there's something about treasure hunts. There's something about you wanting to find what was left. People talk about finding a treasure. They're looking for hidden jewels. They're looking for hidden riches. I'm going to tell you, every treasure is in Jesus Christ today. Amen. For it said, in him, in Jesus, are his all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, I don't understand. Get a hold of Jesus and you'll get the wisdom. Get a hold of Jesus and you'll get the knowledge. Amen. Because it is all in him. Amen. Verse number 4 said, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now he's going to start to preach here for a little while. He said, lest any man beguile you. What happened in the garden? It was that serpent that beguiled Eve with deceptive words. Beguile means to reckon wrongly, to miscount, to cheat by false reckoning, to deceive by false reasoning, to delude or circumvent. That is exactly what the devil did to Eve on that day. For God doth know. He starts to reckon wrongly. He doesn't completely outright deny what God said, but he begins to just twist it, Just tilt it a little bit differently. Just put a different light on it, if you will. Amen. And cast a different shadow. I should say, cast a different shadow upon it to make it not to quite what God said. And just to twist it. And that's what we have today in many doctrines or religions of the world, is we have a lot of people that want to say Jesus' name, but they don't want to really take it all in its context.
Yes, sir.
You see, they want Jesus, but they still want to smoke their cigarettes. They still want Jesus, but they want to live in fornication. They don't want to get married and live the way God intended them to live. They want to live and still have the pleasures of sexual relationship, but they don't want... Well, come on now. Don't get tied on me here, because I'll really start to get to preaching. I want you to say, well, those are all just rules. No, when you get Jesus on the inside, he starts working on the outside, and he changes your life. He changes your thinking. He changes your attitude, because it works from the inside to the outside. Man. And so the devil wants to just make it sound, and he's done a really good job, if I can say so myself, because he's fooled a lot of society that you can live in fornication. Well, we're just living together, but you know we're faithful to one another. Pulley on you. That's a theology of the world. That's a philosophy of the world. Say, Pastor, you're being mean right now. Noah, I'm preaching to you the word of God. You wonder why you can't get it together in your life? You wonder why there can't be a blessing here and multiplying there? You wonder why the Spirit of God won't move on you continually, and you're struggling, you're wrestling, because there's things in your life that you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to change. And yet you want to be a Christian. And that's what was wrong with the church in Colossae. Again, don't get mad at me. Well, go ahead, get mad at me. It don't matter. I don't get mad at God, no, man. But I just say, well, thank you very much. Well, I don't like that piece of mail, but I guess it's a piece of mail I got to take. So I open it up, and I got to do what it says. Yeah, just the mailman, praise the Lord. I said, I'm just the mailman, praise the Lord. I'm preaching to you the word of God. I'm trying to sharpen you. I'm trying to make you a better person. I'm trying to make you better in life. I'm trying to make you better in your walk with God. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to build you up. But sometimes that takes some stress. Sometimes that takes some work and some effort and some buffeting. I'm going to tell you, when you work, it takes some effort. It ain't nothing to lay around on the couch and be a bum. But when you got to go to work, you got to get up in the morning. You got to swing a hammer, and sometimes it hurts. You got to get up and times at 4 o'clock in the morning and go do things that you don't really want to do. There's certain things, because that's work, and it causes effort, but it makes you better, don't it? Amen. And so same with the Word of God. There's things that may be uncomfortable for us to deal with and for us to establish in our life, but it's going to make us better. We're living in too soft of a society today that doesn't want to be challenged, that doesn't want to be buffeted. I read a little minion caption the other day from my daughter, and said, I'm sorry, that opinion offended you. You should have been inside of my head. It would have really been bad. And laugh. I'm going to tell you, what I'm saying today, what the Word of God says, is not there to offend you.
That's right.
That's what our society says. Oh, they're too hard. They're this. They're offensive. No, it's not there to offend you. It's there to say, hey, you know what? There's some things that I need to change in my life. I need to step up to the plate. I need to own up to my fleshly carnal man and say, I don't like that. I need God's help to change me, to mold me into the creature that God wants me to be.
Yes,
I got way off track. I apologize. I'm going to get back on track here. In this chapter, chapter number 2, the doctrines that Paul continues talks about and is concerned about is the oneness of God and baptism. Oneness of God and baptism. Because at this point, there was a lot of confusion that was being thrown in there, and things were being tossed all over the place. So in verse number 5, if you'll read there in chapter number 2 with me, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. What is it talking about? I may not be here with you in flesh, but I'm with you again. He reiterates what he started out with. I'm in this great conflict. I'm fighting for you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Oh, that I could relay that message to your heart today, that everything I'm preaching is on your behalf. That everything I'm preaching today is to make you better, is to make you stronger, is for your benefit.
That's right.
There's some that have already shut me out, that you don't see it like that. But I promise you, everything that is within me today, I want to see you excel. And I pray to God that I don't want to see you excel more than you want to excel. Because if I want to see you excel more than you do, we ain't going to get nowhere. It's all I'm going to do is beat my head up against the wall. But in that way, some of us feel, some of us do sometimes, somebody wants this for us more than we want it ourselves.
Right, amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. I've got to stay on track. Help me stay on track. Come on, brother.
What's your name? Brother
Dan, there we go. See, I've had a senior moment, and I'm not even going to see you yet. Brother Dan was going like this. I'm like, yeah, help me out, Brother Dan. Keep me on track. Alright, and I had a senior moment and I went off track. And it said, beholding your order. He said, I see how you guys are keeping things in order. And your steadfastness in Christ. Even though you're being bombarded. Even though you're being buffeted by this false doctrine. I want you to hold on. Be steadfast in the faith. He was giving them an attaboy. Amen. Stay strong. Stay resilient against false doctrine. Verse number 6, it said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in. What you received, there's something that is so powerful that once we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've been buried in His name, not the titles, but in His name. When these things take place in our life, He says, when you receive them, continue to walk therein. The tragedy of today is we have so many people that get full of the Holy Ghost and they go, poof, okay, that's all I need to do. No, it's not. That's just the beginning of your journey. Just because you got the Holy Ghost one time doesn't mean you have gotten anywhere, really. You just started the journey. And if you stop right there, you ain't going nowhere in Christ. Your relationship with Christ is going nowhere. You've got to continue to walk therein.
Amen.
Let me tell you something today. I'm not here today because I just got the Holy Ghost and poof, wow, I became a preacher. No, I continue to walk. I continue to walk in the ways of God, seeking Him, talking to Him. And like I started out even today, I'm amazed at the Word of God. After living for God for so many years, there's still stuff coming out of that Word. And I'm convicted every day going, God, work on me. Change me. Mold me. Fix me, God. But I can tell some of you already arrived. Yeah, you did. You already arrived in your mind. You already have said, well, I am what I am.
Jesus.
And that's the attitude and the arrogance of our carnal nature. But God said, you've got to continue to walk. You've got to continue to strive. You've got to continue to walk after the things of God. Because you never arrive. Just like I've said before, you're never going to be saved until you step over into glory land. You ain't made it. you're saved.
Not by his stripes.
I said, quit thinking that you're saved. You're still walking on this journey. You got to still keep going on. If you don't keep walking, guess what you're doing? You're backsliding. I said it the other day to this young lady. I said, your relationship with Christ is much like any other relationship. We can have communication all day long and become the best of friends. But the day that we quit communicating, our relationship begins to wane. Our relationship begins to draw further and further and further away. I go several days, I go several weeks, and we're no longer the closest of friends. We're no longer best buddies because our communication has gotten further and further. Thus, the same thing with Christ. If you don't walk with Him every day, every day, every day, if you're not talking with Him every day, your relationship is drawing back.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, get closer.
Yes.
You're only fooling yourself when you think that you have arrived. When you think you've gotten to the place that God, you've got the ultimate.
Yes. Yes.
I've got to have Him every day.
Yes. Every day. Yes.
Verse 7. This is tough. This is good. This is good, solid, doctrinal preaching of God's Word. This will help you be saved today.
Amen.
This is what saved the church at Colossae. Because they were struggling. They were having great difficulty. And it's okay to have great difficulty. It's okay to have a fight on your hands. But man, what do you do when you got a fight on your hands?
Fight.
And I'd really like to see, you know, come here, Brother Edwin.
D.
Come here, Brother Edwin. I want to see this fight. And he may be taller, and he may have longer arms, and he may be a whole lot younger. But I want to tell you what, there's something about wisdom.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. There's something about experience.
Right.
There's something about some things and challenges of life that I would.
Now, I'm not a betting man. We don't do any of that, I understand.
That's right.
Okay. I understand that. But in that aspect, I'd put my money on him.
Even though he's old and broken down and got bad hips and elbows and everything else, you know, I still put my money on him. Because experience over here is going to win.
Right.
You think he can play the knockout game? This dude can play the knockout game in like 3 seconds. Because of experience, because of wisdom, because of understanding. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? It doesn't matter. So, and that's what we've got to understand. In the Word of God, there's experience. There's some wisdom that comes along. It's okay that he's inexperienced, but he's going to have to get in a couple scraps to get that experience, now, ain't he?
Yeah.
You're going to have to go through some difficulties, and it's okay to go through trials. It's okay to go through temptation. Jesus did it, but he came out on the other side, having victory. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So guess what? You can go through temptation. You can go through trials. You can go through discouraging moments and come out on the other side with greater experience and greater wisdom and greater understanding and know how to fight the devil more appropriately.
Amen.
God, I'm going to make you fight. But that one was going, okay. He was already analyzing. I got to get this kid. I got to make him count. One, that's it. My wife is going, I hope you don't hit me.
Oh, Wyatt reminds me of the little air things out there.
I'm going to hit Brother Edwin says, hold still for 2 seconds. I understand what I'm saying. Because then he goes into verse number 7. Okay? Having received Christ, so walk in. We're talking about walking and continuing to mature. But then he goes into verse number 7. What is the very first thing he says?
Rooted.
Get some roots inside of you. Then he says, build up in him. And who's it talking about? Talking about Jesus, rooted and built up. So now we got to walk in him, we got to be rooted in him, and we got to be built up upon him. Jesus Christ being the foundation of everything. And then he says, and establish in the faith as ye have been taught. There it goes again. Received, therefore ye have received. And then he says, as you've been taught. You received it, you've been taught it. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. What was preached to you in the beginning was right. Don't change it.
That's right.
Don't change it.
Absolutely.
Don't look for something different. I know you're hearing this. I know you're being tempted by this. I know this is a temptation to listen to this because it feels good.
Yeah. Yes.
I know you're being tempted because it's pleasant to the eye.
Yes.